Hello, everyone, and welcome to Capital Link's Expert Talk webinar series, where we feature industry leaders sharing key insights on topics shaping the maritime landscape. Today's discussion is titled Extending the Bridge to Decarbonization, and we're very pleased to have with us Mr. Roza Marzouki, Vice President of Global Sustainability at ABS, the leading U.S. classification society. Under Mr. Marzouki's leadership, ABS continues to support the industry's transition toward a low carbon future, providing guidance, technology frameworks, and classification solutions that help ship owners meet evolving regulatory and operational demands. Rostam, thank you for being with us today. It's great to have you.
Thank you for inviting me. I hope the audience will see benefit in what we'll talk about today.
No doubt. So let's jump right into it. Let's start with the big picture and framing the path forward. ABS has been at the forefront of supporting the maritime industry decarbonization journey. Could you start by outlining what extending the bridge to decarbonization means in the context of ABS's mission and current industry dynamics?
Very good question. Very good question, Kaina. So extending the bridge to decarbonization is ABS term for a practical phased strategy towards maritime decarbonization. One that aligns ambitious goals with operational realities. The concept acknowledges that the industry cannot immediately transition to net zero, to zero carbon fuels at scale due to technological, regulatory, and infrastructure issues, limitations. But instead, ABS promotes transitional solutions that maintain compliance today, while paving the way for a long-term shift towards these green fuels. What does this mean in practice? Protecting the bridge itself represents transitional fuels and technologies, primarily LNG, supported by methane abatement and critical pathways towards bio and e-LNG fuels. These options are really vital for hard to abate sectors like shipping and for meeting regulatory requirements until net zero fuels become available at scale. LNG is not the final destination, of course, because it's still a carbon-based fuel, but it provides foundation for blue fuels and delivers immediate emission reduction. On the other hand, this is for protecting the bridge. On the other hand, extending the runway, what does it mean? So beyond the fuels themselves, ABS highlights the energy efficiency technologies and onboard carbon capture as a near-term scalable solution that will help us reach the carbon neutrality. These solutions reduce the well-to-wake emission and the energy demand itself by improving the efficiency, thus helping ship owners manage the escalating compliance cost. Okay, so it's a phased approach. In the same time, for this extending the runway, software-driven performance optimization is identified as a key lever for short-term gains. Okay, so we protect the bridge, we extend the runway, then we prepare for the end game. What's the end game? The ultimate objective is to go for green fuels, zero carbon fuels, or nuclear. But such green fuels like ammonia and hydrogen, they're not yet at scale. They face issues with safety, issues with being insurable, and commercially viable. They're still expensive, basically. And ABS notes that infrastructure of these fuels will take decades to develop, following the same trajectory of LNG gradual adoption. It took about 15 years to get now the value chain for LNG. Okay. So, why this matters for now? The IMO net zero framework is ambitious, but ABS is warning. Now, we put it in our latest outlook that the industry lacks a clear roadmap for green fuel availability and scalability. Compliance costs are expected to triple by 2035, okay, making transitional strategies critical for economic sustainability. Owners are facing this on a daily basis. So, ABS approach focus on creating a realistic pathway that combines ambition with feasibility, ensuring in the same time safety and commercial viability through the transition. Okay. I hope this addressed the question for the auditors.
It did, it did. And let's address one of the aspects of that, the regulatory readiness. Regulations are evolving very quickly, tightening IMO targets and regional regulations such as EU ETS. And if you could please take us how ABS is helping ship owners and operators navigate compliance while maintaining commercial competitiveness.
Good point. In this case, ABS is helping ship owners and operators navigate the tightening IMO targets and the regional regulations like the EU ETS, the FuelEU, through a combination of digital compliance tools, solutions, and regulatory guidance, and also strategic decarbonization support. Okay. On the digital compliance solutions, we have ABS website advantage. It's a powerful software as a service platform, an SaaS platform that automates data collection, emission tracking, and reporting for the EU ETS and the FuelEU maritime requirement. It provides on-demand emission validation, voyage emission statements, and seamless API integration for statutory verification. It helps also operators reduce administrative burden, monitor related KPIs, analyze pooling scenarios, and mitigate penalties by ensuring accurate and timely compliance submissions. It leverages AI and predictive analytics to optimize compliance strategies, reduces operational risk, and improve fleet-wide efficiency. That's on the digital part. On the regulatory part, ABS offers regulatory updates and impact reports summarizing IMO and regional measures, which includes EU ETS phasing in 40% emissions by 2025. 70% by 26, 100% by 27 and onwards. Fuel maritime targets, well-to-wake GHG intensity, mandate onshore power use, and incentivize renewable fuels. Okay. Through ABS My Freedom client portal, ABS provides access to compliance to the compliance apps to the clients, huh? Where they can learn lessons on the new IMO conventions, EEXI, CII, MRV requirements. So it's a portal that helps them assess where we are and what are the regulations that are coming ahead of us. On the third point, on the operational efficiency and the cost management, ABS emphasizes energy efficiency technology and performance optimization softwares to offset rising compliance costs. According to ABS latest outlook, sustainability outlook, EU ETS and IMO measures could triple the daily operating cost by 2035, making efficient gains critical. So any calorie that you use, at least you should use it completely or try to use it completely, so reducing the waste. So ABS advocates a three-part strategy: 70% on the fuel selection, getting new fuels in a phased approach; 70% on the energy efficiency; and 15% on performance optimization. So 70% fuel selection, 15% energy efficiency, and 15% performance optimization. Okay, that's the strategy on operational efficiency and cost management. Now, on preparing for future fuels, ABS supports solutions like using LNG with methane slip controls and credible bio and eLNG pathways that should be introduced progressively while developing frameworks for zero carbon fuels and nuclear propulsion. Okay, this phased approach ensures that owners remain competitive in their business while aligning with the long-term decarbonization goals. So, in fine, ABS provides a realistic roadmap combining compliance, cost control, and future readiness, helping ship owners navigate regulatory complexity and prepare a zero net carbon future. That's the whole game of supporting our clients.
So you did touch on this, but if we could break it down, there are many decarbonization pathways from alternative fuels to digital optimization that the industry is exploring. Based on ABS's research and collaboration with stakeholders, which technologies or solutions appear most promising in the near to medium term?
This is the $1 million answer question.
No doubt.
Yes. So from ABS research and the industry collaboration point of view, we have several near and medium-term technologies that we can analyze. The most promising for maritime decarbonization are first the alternative fuels, which we they among them the first one what we discussed already, the LNG, with considering the bio and the eLNG together as a mix to can towards the decarbonization path. So LNG remains a key bridging fuel, especially when paired with methane slip mitigation. Bio and eLNG offers pathways to carbon neutrality, using the existing infrastructure. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Okay. Now, on methanol and ammonia, both are gaining momentum, attraction from the deep sea shipping. To highlight more, methanol is easier to handle and retrofit, while ammonia offers zero carbon potential but still requires safety and bunkering standards. It's still a challenge. Still a challenge for now. Now, synthetic e-fuels like e-methanol, e-diesel, e-LNG. On this one's ABS-led few studies with IMSA, highlighting that these are critical for the long-term climate neutrality, but the cost and the scalability are still a very big challenge. That's the Now, these are the fuels. Go back. On the energy and digitalization, on the digital optimization part, From an energy efficiency, energy performance solutions, in an era of tightening environmental regulation and rising operational cost, as we mentioned earlier, improving and optimizing the energy demand of a vessel is no longer optional. So each calorie counts. Okay. Not counts only for money, it counts for emission. Okay. So ABS not only provides guidance to operators, but also offers solutions on peer benchmark. Okay. Performance health check, improvement investigation, what pre-implementation of this energy efficiency stuff, and improvement evaluation. It's the post implementation of this energy efficiency technologies. Now, on the performance optimization softwares, which are part of the optimizations, ABS emphasizes digital platforms like mentioned earlier, ABS website for real-time emission tracking and voyage optimization, which can deliver immediate compliance and cost benefit. Hull design improvements, energy efficiency technologies called EETs, okay, and hybrid propulsion systems are already commercially viable and can reduce fuel consumption significantly. In general, older tonnage, old vessels, see frequent installations of EETs, energy efficiency technology, during the repair drives, while newer ships tend to incorporate multiple efficiency features from the design stage. In fact, some of the new designs, they look at the optimizing the readiness of installation of these energy efficiency technologies. So, in another term, a ship owner will look at preparing itself to install one of the energy efficiency technologies during the this during the ship in the new building stage, but planning to install it really in the future. So, doing a conscientious investment analysis compared with compliance. Okay. So the deployment of these EETs has become a mainstream for ship owners nowadays, to reduce the fuel consumption, meet interim decarbonization targets on existing assets. Okay. One of them, which is really picking momentum, is the wind propulsion technologies. Okay, the increasing interest in wind propulsion technologies underscores the wind's potential to reduce fuel cost. And this is not from today. The old ships from the Phoenicians, from the they were using wind. So we are going back to using what is what was available and still available, free wind. The technologies that offer there are a little bit different, but the main thing here is during the coming years we'll see a pivotal change in shaping the roadmap with this wind propulsion technologies called also WPTs, okay, adoption, with more shipyards undertaking retrofits, and additionally there will be a growing need for knowledge in operating these WPTs, maintaining them, and training personnel in the use in their use. Okay. ABS has been supporting technology providers, designers, shipyards, and owners with risk assessments, classification requirements, statutory compliance, the port compatibility, simulations for the prediction of fuel saving, life cycle cost analysis, performance evaluation, in service. So through the full life cycle of the installation of these WPTs. Okay. Now, another element on these technologies is the electrification and the hybrid systems. Battery energy storage using lithium-ion and emerging battery technologies for short sea shipping and hybrid vessels are advancing rapidly. Okay, shore power and charging infrastructure is becoming not only mandatory like in Europe or in California, a challenge. And ABS is working on standards for high voltage shore connections and megawatt charging systems to enable port electrification. The last technology part that we try to help the owners on is the nuclear power. It's a medium-term disruptor. ABS has approved floating small nuclear reactor, SMRs, okay, few designs that we did approve, which could power ships and produce clean fuel like ammonia and hydrogen. We saw applications also offshore for this. And the research shows that, as an example, nuclear-powered container ships could operate for 25 years without refueling, okay, offering a real zero-carbon propulsion and competitive life cycle cost compared to actual green fuels cost. Okay. So bottom line, ABS sees the transition as a layered approach: fuel flexibility, efficiency, and digitalization for now, while preparing the synthetic fuels and nuclear energy as scalable solutions in 2030s and beyond. Okay. So this is what we do to support the owners and in the industry for the new technologies.
Yes, because thank you for that. Because bridging innovation practicality has been the issue here. Many owners are grappling with balancing innovation and cost efficiency. And I was wondering if you could answer us how ABS can bridge the gap between ambition and practical implementation for diverse fleets.
Correct, correct. Correct. Classification societies like ABS play a unique role in bridging ambitions and practical implementation because they sit at the intersection of technology qualification, regulatory compliance, and performance evaluation and commercial viability. Okay, so we are in the crossroad. So here is how ABS approaches this challenge. With regards to technology, we do vet technologies and risk manage them. Okay, so ABS provides feasibility assessments and risk-based classification frameworks for emerging technologies such as ammonia-fueled engines, carbon capture systems, nuclear propulsion, and wind propulsion technologies. This ensures innovation meets safety and reliability standards before large-scale adoption, which reduces uncertainty for operators. On the other hand, we need to ensure flexibility compliance pathways. So ABS helps owners interpret the impact of IMO and the regional rules, such as the EU ETS and the Marine Fuel EU, and offers compliance modeling tools. So, using simulating different scenarios, fuel choices, retrofit options, operational challenges, ABS enables cost-effective decision making tailored to each fleet and each vessel profile, specific to owners. On the digital enablement, platforms like ABF's website automate emission reporting and optimize voyage performance, reducing compliance costs for owners and improving operational efficiency. Another layer are the digital twins. It's more advanced simulation, which offer predictive analytics, allowing owners to test decarbonization strategies virtually before committing any investment. Okay. A fourth element is the collaborative partners. ABS works with ship owners, OEMs, manufacturers, fuel suppliers, to develop transition strategies that combine short-term measures, efficiency upgrades, LNG retrofits, as an example, with long-term investment, synthetic fuels, SMRs. This phased approach aligns ambitions with infrastructure readiness and financial planning. No one can reach the decarbonization goals alone. We need an ecosystem, and that helps it. The fifth element that we work with is the financial and life cycle guidance. So in this case, ABS provides total cost of ownership, the TCO, studies, analysis, and the life cycle emission modeling, helping owners justifying investments and secure green financing. So by linking technical compliance with economic viability, ABS reduces the risk of stranded vessels. Okay, we try to help owners do the right decisions. On the other hand, related to performance prediction and evaluation, ABS applies state-of-the-art modeling tools to simulate the impact of energy efficiency technologies on the energy demand of propulsion and shipboard system. And this is linked with the digital twin. Post-implementation evaluation, this is we do it for the energy efficiency technologies that we try to, after the post-implementation, we do an evaluation, often involving analysis of high-frequency measurement during service, which is essential to determine that what was promised from the manufacturer is achieved. Okay. So, as I said, to make a summary, ABS acts as a trusted advisor and integrator, translating regulatory ambitions into actionable fleet-specific solutions that balances innovation with cost efficiency. So we try to be the intermediate between the regulatory framework and how you achieve it in practice, helping the owners towards that.
Thank you, Rostam. You did mention the need for an ecosystem, and I would like us to move it to talk about that. There needs to be an infrastructure and ecosystem readiness, because of course the transition is not just about the vessels. Decarbonization doesn't end at the vessel level. It depends on the broader maritime value chain. Can you talk to us about how ABS views the role of ports, fuel suppliers, and other partners in creating a sustainable ecosystem?
You put your finger on the right thing. Agree. As I mentioned earlier, ABS views the decarbonization as a system-wide challenge, not just at a vessel level issue. And the success depends on collaboration across the maritime value chain, which means ports, fuel suppliers, technology providers, regulators, all together to build a sustainable ecosystem. So, from ports are key enablers. Okay. They need to have alternative fuel infrastructure. So they need to think about their investment in bunkering of LNG, methanol, ammonia, and eventually hydrogen. They need to think about investing in shore power, charging, so high voltage connections and megawatt charging systems to cut emissions during the port stays. So ABS' role in this is to collaborate with port readiness assessment and develop standards for safe fuel handling and electrification. So we help the ports in achieving their goals. On the fuel suppliers and the energy producers, they need to scale green fuels. So ABS emphasizes partnership to accelerate production and distribution of these biofuels, e-fuels, and renewable ammonia. Life cycle emission transparency is paramount for the suppliers to sell their fuels. So ABS promotes well-to-tank accounting to ensure fuel meets sustainability criteria, not just tank to weight. Okay. So the fuel life cycle. As I said, the ecosystem, you get the technology developers, the technology owners. ABS works with the engine manufacturers and the system integrators to qualify new energy efficiency technologies, propulsion and carbon capture systems. Okay. We have a few joint development projects that helps ensure safety and performance standards for emerging solutions. On the regulatory side and the financial side, the ecosystem part, ABS advocates to harmonize towards a harmonized global standards to avoid fragmented compliance. Okay. So it's better to have same standard globally than to have each region of the globe trying to develop their own standard. ABS also supports owners in assessing green financing by providing life cycle emissions data and certification framework. Okay. So ABS acts as a connector in these ecosystems. We act as a connector through initiatives like ABS sustainability centers and collaborative studies, for example, the IMSA synthetic fuel reports. Okay. ABS acts as a neutral integrator, aligning stakeholders on technology readiness, safety, and investment priorities. The bottom line, decarbonization success depends on ecosystem coordination. Vessels, ports, and suppliers must evolve together. They can't act independently if we want to decarbonize. And the ABS strategy is to de-risk the innovation and accelerate the infrastructure readiness through standards, digital tools, and partnership.
That's great. Thank you, Rostam. I think we would need to touch on data and digitalization to make this a complete discussion. So digitalization is becoming central to sustainability. Data-driven decision-making is increasingly essential for sustainability and operational efficiency. How is ABS leveraging data and digital tools to enhance transparency, optimize performance, and support decarbonization strategies?
In fact, digitalization is a lifetime transformation, and especially for shipping. So ABS is leveraging the data and digital technologies to make sure sustainability actionable and measurable is actionable and measurable across the maritime value chain. And we do that through different elements. The first of them is the real-time emission monitoring and compliance. I mentioned it earlier, ABS website is a digital SaaS platform that automates emission data collection, validation reporting for both IMO, EU ETS and fuel EU. It provides voyage level emissions statements and predictive compliance analytics. This is essential for both charters and owners. Tell us both. It reduces manual reporting errors and ensures transparency for regulators and financiers. The second element on this digital transformation is the performance optimization and the predictive analytics. I mentioned it earlier. Digital twins are more developed models that ABS uses for vessel specific to simulate operational scenarios, enabling owners to test energy efficiency upgrades virtually before any investment. Okay, they can test, model. It's a safe environment to test. Now, AI-driven voyage optimization algorithms recommend optimal speeds, routing, and engine settings to minimize fuel consumption and emissions. That's on the performance side. On the life cycle carbon accounting, with regards to digitalization, ABS integrates well-to-wake emission data for alternative fuels, helping owners make informed choices about LNG, methanol, ammonia, and synthetic fuels. Because fuels are green, but how green are they? That's what we try to help to the industry to understand. We support green financing through the digital tool by providing certified carbon intensity metrics for vessels and fleets. Now, this digital transformation, one of the major elements in it, is to provide transparency and benchmarking. So through, for example, in our case in ABS, MyFreedom client portal, ABS offers dashboards for fleet-wide performance benchmarking against industry standards. Through the ABS service of energy emission insights, owners can compare their vessel against peers, identifying underperformance and prioritizing improvements, investigation. They can check, test, verify, take decisions. Okay. And this is what leads to the next element, which is critical also in digitalization. It's a data-driven decision support. So ABS combines regulatory intelligence with operational data to model cost impact of compliance and ROIs, return of investment, for decarbonization technologies. When you need to invest, when you need to retrofit, to get to maximize your investment, staying in compliance with regulatory requirement. This enables strategic planning that balances sustainability with commercial competitiveness. Okay. So this is Infini. What ABS tried to do is to have a digital strategy, which is about tuning compliance into data-driven advantage, helping owners not only meet regulations, but also optimize cost and unlock new financing opportunities.
That's great. Thank you, Rostam. So planning and strategizing, very crucial. And I would like us to finish this discussion with a future outlook, looking ahead. As we approach 2030 and 2050 milestones, what are the key priorities and challenges you foresee for the maritime sector? And how is ABS preparing to guide the industry through the next phase of this transition?
I agree, Taylor. This is one of the key things. You know, ABS identify its key priorities and challenges as the maritime industry advances towards IMO 2030 targets and 2050 decarbonization milestones. Okay. As priorities, we have three: accelerating fuel transition, energy efficiency and digital optimization, and the infrastructure and ecosystem readiness. So, on the acceleration of fuel transition, few elements. First, we need to choose which fuel choice. And we expect this fuel choice to account for 70%, like we mentioned it earlier, okay, of the decarbonization impact, making the availability and scalability of green fuels the single biggest determinant of the success. So it's a big challenge, basically the availability of the green fuels. Now, for the near-term focus on these fuels, we have LNG, but we need to combine the use of LNG with the methane slip abatement controls. Okay. LNG also offers a path with bio and eLNG towards full decarbonization. Methanol, similarly, offers the same path, the same path. On the midterm, we have ammonia and synthetic fuels. On the long term, we have the zero carbon fuels when they are safe, insurable, and investable at scale, okay, including nuclear. Okay. This is on the fuel availability, accelerating the fuel transition. Now, on the other priority, which is the energy efficiency and digital optimization, remember before we said that 15% is efficiency and 15% is about optimization. So 30% of the decarbonization gains will come from the energy efficiency technologies and performance optimization softwares that we'll implement. So we should rely on these ones first because these are low-hanging fruits, making ships more efficient. Okay. And running them more optimally. So ABS emphasizes digital tools, performance optimization, emission tracking, and predictive compliance as immediate scalable solution. The third key priority, which is related to the infrastructure and the ecosystem readiness. I mentioned earlier, port and supply chain must develop bunkering for alternative fuels and shore power system. But this is linked with investment and it needs to be driven by regulations. Okay. Harmonized standards, global standards, and financial frameworks are essential to avoid fragmented compliance regimes. Okay. Now, these are the priorities. What are the challenges that you highlighted on the question? The challenges for these ones, on the fuel side, we just said availability and scalability. So there is actually no clear pathway for green fuel production and global distribution at scale required for the scales required for 2050, as we speak today. We don't have clear path of this supply chain. Another challenge is the economic pressure. The cost compliance pressure that could triple by 2035, which we mentioned earlier. It's a big burden on ship owners. The third challenge is the regulatory uncertainty. Okay. So In a nutshell, and this is what we highlight in our sustainability report for 2050, we need to protect the bridge. Our aim is to decarbonize. So we need to do it and do it practically, fast, but economically sustainable. So we need to protect the bridge, support LNG, the development of bio-LNG, e-LNG, and transitional fuels, as transitional fuels. Extend the runway for decarbonization to allow our decarbonization to take off. Extend it through energy efficiency technologies. So we need to explore and deploy energy efficiency upgrades and onboard carbon capture to cut the well-to-wake emissions. We need to reduce our footprint for what is existing now. And we need to prepare for the end game. So we need to develop standards, risk frameworks for both nuclear propulsion and zero carbon fuels. And also, we need to enable the digitalization, what we spoke about. They enable the data-driven decisions through ABS website advantage and life cycle carbon accounting. ABS helps optimize compliance and investment strategy. So that's in a summary what we talked about today. So I hope I understand this is the last question, but I hope it gets some positive echo within the auditors from the what we discussed today on the decarbonization of the our industry.
Definitely, Rostam, and it was a great discussion. And thank you for sharing these valuable insights and for helping us better understand how ABS is extending the bridge to a more sustainable maritime future. And to our audience, thank you for joining us today. The discussion is part of Capital Link's Expert Talk webinar series, where we feature leading voices driving progress across the global shipping industry. And if you'd like to revisit today's discussion or explore more expert talks, please visit our website or Capital Link's YouTube channel. Once again, thank you, Rostam, and thank you for everybody who tuned in. We look forward to seeing you in our next session. Thank you, Rostam.
Thank you, Kayla. Thank you, Kayla.